Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is. But relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
A little-known risky bond could play a big role in the banking crisis.
These bonds can either be wiped out or converted into shares. And what that means is that the obligations or liabilities of the bank decline. It's like a pressure valve.
And how the crisis is hitting small business owners.
Many small businesses and mid-sized businesses are conservative, and they have a fair amount of cash on hand. And this has made them rethink those banking relationships.
Plus, another massive round of layoffs hits the tech sector, this time at Amazon. It's Monday, March 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Bond markets are playing a central role in the banking crisis. On this morning's show, we talked a bit about riskier additional Tier 1 bonds, also known as contingent convertible bonds, or even more simply, and let's try to keep it simple, CoCos. They're more common in Europe than in the U.S. And Credit Suisse's emergency merger with UBS included completely writing down more than $17 billion worth of CoCos. That has investors worried contagion could spread in the $250 billion market for this kind of bank debt. So what exactly are CoCos and what role do they play here? To continue our conversation from this morning, I'm joined now by markets reporter Matt Wirtz. So Matt, can you start by reminding us how these bonds are meant to work and did they do what they were supposed to do in this case?
So if you remember where this came out of the European financial crisis, 2010-2011. European regulators started encouraging banks to start using these securities specifically because they're hybrid debt, these CoCos, that can kind of disappear for the bank if it runs into trouble. And so what that means is that if the balance sheet of the bank starts to decline, right, the value of its equity and its assets starts to decline, then these bonds can either be wiped out or converted into shares. And what that means is that the obligations or liabilities of the bank decline. It's like a pressure valve. That's the way that I think of it. And the other way that I think of it is like kind of like a game of Jenga. So if you think about the balance sheet of a bank, the capital structure of the bank as like a Jenga tower, right? When there's a crisis of confidence and there start to be runs on deposits, a bank stock goes down, the assets that it holds are declining in value. It's like little pieces are being pulled out of the bottom of the Jenga tower, making it much less stable. What this does is it pulls blocks out of the top of the Jenga tower. Like the liabilities, the things that are weighing the tower down, get lightened. And that's essentially what these things are supposed to do. And that's what they did in this case.
So, Matt, if these did function as they were intended to, why are we seeing a sell-off right now?
Well, I mean, two things. One is, like, the bottom part of that Jenga tower started to get unstable very, very fast, much faster than anyone anticipated. The other is that there was an expectation that the bonds wouldn't get kind of wiped clean without similar pain being taken by the bank shareholders. That's what happened in a similar situation where there was a Spanish bank in 2017, was also acquired by a stronger bank, Santander, and shareholders were wiped out in that situation, or at least took losses. And in this case, that wasn't what happened. And that is why some investors who bought the bonds are all up in arms.
We've been talking a lot about the fear of contagion here. Can you talk about that more specifically as it relates to CoCos?
Yeah, so that is the concern here. So the worst performing bond this morning in U.S. bond markets was a CoCo for French bank Société Générale, which has nothing to do with Credit Suisse. But the French regulators take a similar view to what Swiss regulators take or took in this case concerning CoCos. And so there is a real concern that this could spread. And that bond, it dropped 15%. It's trading at a very deep discount. In bond markets, that's a really big move. It's very surprising. And people are very worried. There was an Asian bank, HSBC, their bonds also dropped dramatically. So this has global ramifications. And investors in these types of securities are clearly, some of them are heading for the exits.
Markets reporter Matt Wirtz, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
The banking crisis has been top of mind for many of us, especially after the big merger announcement between Credit Suisse and UBS over the weekend. It's also been a big topic among small businesses like restaurants and clothing stores. Many small business owners are now wondering what to do with their cash. Our senior special writer, Ruth Simon, has been talking with small business owners and joins me now with more on their thinking. Hi, Ruth. Welcome back to What's News.
Thank you.
So, Ruth, in speaking with these business owners, what are some of the key concerns you heard from them regarding the banking crisis?
I think the big concern for the moment is what to do about their cash. There are some small businesses that are so small, they wish they had enough cash to exceed the FDIC deposit limits of $250,000. But many small businesses and mid-sized businesses are conservative, and they have a fair amount of cash on hand. And this has made them rethink those banking relationships.
So what are some of the things they're doing now to safeguard their money?
So one thing that some small businesses are doing is asking questions. They've called their banks. They have gotten calls from their banks to reassure them. It's hard, though, because small business owners do a lot of things, but they're not financial treasury cash management experts. The other thing some of them are doing is they're thinking about moving their money, or they may move their money in the future. Some of them have already done that. Some of them are looking at moving money from one bank to another or splitting their deposits among multiple banks.
And as you mentioned, this is a different prospect for small businesses who, unlike large companies or firms with crisis management teams, don't have that type of support. So what are some of the key challenges for handling something like this when it comes to a small business owner?
I think one thing is to, if you're trying to understand how safe is your bank, just figuring out how to analyze that. I talked to one business owner who owns a consulting firm, and he said, I can ask questions. My bank can tell me they're in good shape, but I'm not really set up to analyze that the financial team that might be in charge of that kind of thing, they've got a million other tasks that they have to do. There's another issue too. Some small businesses have loans or lines of credit that have deposit requirements that might make them keep more than that FDIC minimum amount at the bank that's lending to them. I talked to a clothing store owner who is hoping to get his banks to relax that requirement, but he's not sure that's going to happen.
Ruth, what are some other potential ripple effects here?
I think one big concern is, will this impact small business lending? As interest rates have gone up, it's gotten tougher for small businesses to get loans just because you need to have more cash flow to cover those higher loan payments. And one of the questions and one of the things people are worried about is, will these banking issues lead to a further tightening of credit? And one of the real concerns about that is these smaller and mid-sized banks are very important sources of credit for small businesses. So if money flows out of them, that could make less credit available. If the banks tighten up because they're concerned about the economy, that could also make less credit available.
I've been speaking with senior special writer Ruth Simon. Ruth, thank you so much for joining me.
A pleasure speaking with you.
And coming up, we'll have more on the day's biggest news. That's after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
We'll start off with some more financial news. U.S. bank executives are working to build back confidence in the banking system, which is facing its worst crisis in 15 years. We report exclusively that J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon is leading discussions with other executives on ways to shore up First Republic. People familiar with the matter say talks have focused on how the industry could arrange for an investment to boost the bank's capital. Last week, 11 banks deposited $30 billion into First Republic, but it's still facing intense pressure from investors. We've previously reported that the bank's customers have withdrawn about $70 billion since Silicon Valley Bank collapsed. First Republic's stock has fallen more than 80% this month. In France, President Emmanuel Macron's government has survived two no-confidence votes, one spearheaded by a group of centrist lawmakers and another by Marine Le Pen's far-right national rally. The votes come after Macron bypassed Parliament last week to push through an overhaul of France's pension system, and they clear the way for the retirement age there to be raised from 62 to 64 by the year 2030. Turning now to Washington, President Biden has issued the first veto of his presidency. He's blocking a bill backed by Republicans that would overturn a regulation that lets retirement plan managers consider climate change and other factors, known as ESG, in their investment decisions. ESG has been a target for conservatives, with some accusing investors of trying to force companies to follow a liberal agenda at the expense of pursuing profits. Advocates say the regulation adds another factor for managers to consider when they're making investments. After a month-long trial, a jury today convicted four members of the Oath Keepers militia. They were found guilty of conspiring to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power on January 6, 2021. They could face years in prison, but were not jailed while awaiting trial, and they remain free until sentencing. In previous trials, the far-right group's founder, Stuart Rhodes, and five other members were found guilty of seditious conspiracy. That's the gravest charge the Justice Department brought relating to the January 6th attack. Lawyers for the Oath Keepers have said there was no coordinated plan to stop Congress from certifying the presidential election. A panel of scientists from the United Nations says there's a, quote, feasible but narrow pathway to avoid the worst effects of climate change. But the world would have to cut greenhouse gas emissions 60% by 2035 to limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial levels. That would require a massive and rapid shift in the world's energy supply. That shift is underway in some countries, but it's been held back by the war in Ukraine, the global energy crisis, and by a thirst for economic growth in countries like China and India. In business news, Amazon plans to cut another 9,000 corporate jobs, including positions in its cloud computing and advertising businesses. That comes after the company just finished cutting more than 18,000 jobs. In a statement, CEO Andy Jassy said the cuts were due to an uncertain economy. Amazon's one of many tech companies that grew fast early in the pandemic. But more recently, the sector's been cutting jobs instead. Last week, Facebook parent Meta announced a second wave of mass layoffs. It says it'll cut 10,000 jobs in the next few months. And finally, more than a billion people use TikTok every month, but many others refuse to download or engage with it. Some are concerned about whether their data is private. Others worry the app is too addictive. And yet, people who don't have TikTok are still seeing TikToks. They get links to the videos from their friends, or they see reposts on other social media platforms. You might think that would address any privacy concerns, but our personal tech reporter, Anne-Marie Alcantara, says that these roundabout ways of watching TikToks don't necessarily mean you're going incognito.
If you don't watch these videos on the app, some information can still technically be shared with TikTok, depending on how you consume the content. So say like a friend sends you, you know, a link to a TikTok video, some information like your browser type, your smartphone device information, and an IP address, which will generally share your location, could be shared with the company. But then if you're accessing it through something else, that question becomes even murkier of like what data and where is it being sent.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.